Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, it's Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show, presented by Church Health, caring for people all around us. Give today at churchhealth.org.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
It's a letter from an occupant, a early 2000s indie rock single by a band called New Pornographers. In honor of my mailbag column today, got reached into the mailbag again.
So did you end up going to Hernando's Hideaway this weekend?
I did. You stalking me?
I'm stalking you.
I guess I put that on Instagram.
No, I heard from someone else who was going with you.
Okay, yeah.
So I've never been to Hernando's Hideaway.
I had not either, and it's on my list of like things that I've been meaning to get to and just had never, and it's great.
It's in Hernando, I take it.
No, it's not.
Where
in
is
Hernando.
What is it? What? Tell me about Hernando's Hideaway. Where is it?
Hernando's Hideaway was most associated with the 1950s. It's near.
Really?
It's near Graceland. Right off the interstate. Like if you take the interstate to Graceland instead of driving down Bellevue, which is a different kind of experience. You take the interstate to Graceland, like right as you exit, there's Hernando's Hideaway.
Really?
So it's like Brooks Road and Elvis Presley Boulevard, right at that intersection. And it's most associated in the 1950s. It was like a popular a lot of the rockabilly guys
really?
Played out at Hernando's Hideaway and the house band like Duck Dunn who, Booker T and the MGs played at Hernando's Hideaway. And so it was a big thing. It was like one of the notable Memphis music club kind of places back in the rockabilly era and either had closed for a long time or fallen on hard times or off the radar. It was sort of just not a thing for decades, I think.
Right.
And then 3 or 4 years ago, Dale Watson, who's a sort of an independent underground sort of traditional country guy who I've known about forever, he used to play his songs on my college radio station 20 years ago. He moved to Memphis. He's from Texas, I think. He moved to Memphis and with a partner bought Hernando's Hideaway and decided I'm making this my clubhouse and has gussied it up and it's like just a bar / music venue and it's very along the like sort of rockabilly culture kind of lines. Like the bathrooms, the men's and women's rooms are labeled John and June for Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash. So that's the vibe of the place. But it was great. I will be looking for reasons to go back.
So who was the headliner Saturday?
So my friend Ted, people may know because he's in the news all the time. He was actually in the news that day. He was on the Daily Memphian site that day. Ted Horrell, who's the superintendent of like the Lakeland school stuff. He's a good friend of mine, and he's got a band. So we were out supporting him. His band was playing.
And did our friend Bailey Bigger play as well?
Her brother played.
Oh, Wiley played.
Yeah.
Bailey did not play. Wiley
she did not
played.
Play. She was there. I actually met her parents, and the weirdest like connection, like her dad comes up to introduce himself and says, "Hi, I'm Dave Bigger. I'm Wiley and Bailey's dad. I used to work with your Uncle Wade," which I wasn't expecting. So my Uncle Wade, who's retired now, was a seed salesman for Hornbeck Seed Company, which is a family-related thing. It's my grandmother's sister's husband is the Hornbeck in question, and it's his company. And so the Bailey Bigger's dad, who I guess they live in Marion, worked with Hornbeck and worked with my Uncle Wade. And so, yeah, it was a whole thing.
I saw Bailey Bigger had a new music video come out over the weekend, a song called Wiley about her brother that I would commend to people because it's beautiful and it's lovely. All right, enough of that.
But Hernando's Hideaway is a cool place. The people should check out.
I'll put it on my list.
If you think it's a thing you might be interested in, you will be interested in it.
Right.
If it does not appeal. if it does not at all sound like something up your alley, then it's probably not.
But
like beer and burgers and like, you know, traditional, like, you know.
Did you have a burger?
I had a fried chicken sandwich. My wife had a burger. We both had some beers. Also had the Johnny Cash Smash from the cocktail menu. So, yeah.
Decent.
Yeah, no, it was good. Everything was good. I was completely tickled by the place. It's my kind of place. Like I said, I'll look for other reasons to go. Corey Brannon, old friend of mine, is playing there in November. I'll probably go see him if I'm not, don't have anything, right. Other plans that night.
All right. Bill Russell died over the weekend. When you look at Bill Russell's stats, rebounding stats are insane.
You look at his on-court accomplishments.
In
context.
They are almost so extraordinary that you just have to put them over here because, you know, in a two NCAA titles, gold medal at the Olympics, and then 11 NBA titles in 13 years. Four franchises that had never won an NBA title.
Yeah. I mean, the context is different. It was like eight teams then or whatever.
Right, yes.
Bill Russell, in some way, you know, your question of like when modern basketball starts is sort of a moving target people can define differently. I think there's sort of two starting points. There's like one modern and then a different modern. And so, like, Bill Russell to me is one of those, you know, demarcation points.
Or modern basketball starting.
Yeah. And then Magic Johnson, Larry Bird is another, depending on how you want to define modern. But I think those were two shifts into two different eras of basketball. And in some ways, like, the NBA existed before Bill Russell. But, like, not really, you know? Like, no one's going to tell you George Mikan is really a great player. Bill Russell, it's complicated to contextualize him, more so than some of the guys who came immediately after him. But he is the first basketball player who is legitimately a great basketball player. George Mikan was, like, good in his era. Even Bob Cousy, who played with Russell but came before him a little bit, like, no one's going to tell you those guys will translate. I don't know if Bill Russell would be as good, but Bill Russell would be great.
It's funny. We just had Jason Cole on, and he was talking about this. And he said, listen, if you put Wilt in today's NBA, he'd totally translate. Yep. If you would put Bill Russell in, you know, he might be like
Well, he wasn't averaging 25 points a game even then.
No, he was averaging 15 points a game actually then. So what was he? He was Draymond Green. He said he might be Draymond Green. Here's the point, though. Like, you can't.
Draymond Green might end up being in the Hall of Fame, by the way.
But, and you can't. What would Bill Russell have been like had he grown up today? Like, he might have had a different array of skills.
Right.
Like, it's a stupid sort of thing
I think Bill Russell, by any realistic measure, is a top five, just strictly looking at on the court basketball play. As a top 5 to 10 player all time. I don't think he's top 3. I think that's a different category with LeBron and Jordan and Kareem. But I think after that, you can start arguing Bill Russell. And I'd probably have him 5, 6, 7, somewhere in that range.
Is he, in terms of accomplishments, though, he's up with those other.
Well, yeah, but again, you got to bring context to it. It was an 8-team league. Like, it's easier to win a title in an 8-team league than a 30-team league.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And it's easier to be an All-Star. He was a 12-time All-Star.
Right.
He was a 5-time MVP. And in 1980, this is the sort of thing. In 1980, when they had some big vote on who was the best player ever, he won. And then Magic and Bird came, and then Jordan and LeBron, you know, and everything else.
By any measure, in a game that's now, you know, I don't know, 80 years old or something, league that's 80, something like that, he is a top 5-10 player in the history of that game. And that is strictly talking about inside the lines.
Right.
He is, and the opinions would vary on this, too, because he was he was no shrinking violet, Bill Russell. He is the most righteous, most meaningful person beyond the confines of the court among those great players, to me. And so, you know, to me, I know Michael Jordan, like, looms over so much, but Bill Russell is probably the most significant American among the great basketball players.
Yeah, I was listening to someone say that they don't grade Jordan. They criticize him for not being political, and that's fine.
Actually, Jordan did take some criticism for that at different times. Yeah.
But then you, pick a player who was not political, and you don't have to be political.
No.
But I do give you credit if you were, particularly
most of them aren't any major way. Like Bird was not super political. Magic was not super political.
What did Bird stand for? Right. Like, what the hell did he stand for? I had no idea. Isaiah. Like, that was Isaiah political?
Whoever. Very few are.
Right.
Kareem and Russell were.
At that time, Kareem and Russell were. Yeah. And at that time, to do what he did, and in the place where he did it, you know, he called Boston a flea market of racism, because basically you had every part of racism. You had your people who throw bricks through your, you know, whatever you wanted, that kind of racists. And if you wanted your, you know, it was aristocratic racist.
A potpourri. A veritable potpourri of racism.
Right. And his house was vandalized.
Right.
And he didn't have any use for, like, he didn't sign autographs. He didn't go to Hall of his Hall of Fame enshrinement.
Right.
He didn't, you know, I thought this quote was powerful. He said, "There are two societies in this country, and I have to recognize it, to see life for what it is and not go stark raving mad. I don't work for acceptance. I am what I am. If you like it, that's nice. If not, I couldn't care less."
Well, not only was he a trailblazer in terms of his own career, but, like, I was reading some stuff, and, like, it's almost like a Forrest Gumpy kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. He was on the front row of MLK's
I Have a Dream. He was right there in the March on Washington at the front of the line. He was a pallbearer for Jackie Robinson. He was the first person, one of the first people to stand up and defend Muhammad Ali when he wouldn't go to Vietnam.
There's a famous photo of him sitting next to Muhammad Ali as he's sitting there not going to Vietnam. Absolutely.
One through. He was one of the first major people to, like, stand up for Colin Kaepernick, like, all like, straight through, all the way. And then you talked about this in the first hour. I wasn't listening. Like, the Memphis connection, we think about Memphis. He was the guy wheeling out Larry Finch, like the first MLK game in Memphis.
The great moment.
Yeah.
Because, like, no, he didn't have any use finding your autograph, but Larry Finch, he had great regard for Larry Finch. Larry Finch had played basketball in the same era, kind of, when he played basketball, had been subjected. He originally grew up in the South. He grew up in Louisiana before he moved to Oakland, he? And so
This is now, because I'm actually reading, and I'm not very far into it. I'm in a book club with some old college friends of mine that got started up during COVID, like a Zoomy thing. And they like to read long, new nonfiction books, which is really not where I want to mostly be spending my reading time. But we're reading the Ricky book, the Ricky Henderson biography right now. And so the first part of it is all about the Great Migration, and it's about how it's incredible the athletes who all came, who were all in Oakland in that area in that time, and Bill Russell was sort of the start of the list, but on through, like, just all these people, and, like, they all were, almost all of them,
roots in the South,
particularly Arkansas, Louisiana, and moved out there, a lot around Monroe, around Shreveport. Ricky Henderson, I had no idea. Like, he moved, he was, as his early childhood, was on a farm in southern Arkansas before the family moved to Oakland.
Really?
But, like,
now, we think of Detroit and Chicago and whatever, but it also is.
Well, it talks about this. It's like a second wave. Like, the first Great Migration was moving up north to Chicago and Detroit. And then a later wave was going out to California and Oakland. And it talked about how the black population in Oakland went from, like, 5,000 in 1940 to, like, 150,000, like, by 1970. And, like, in this boom that was happening there, and all these athletes, like, a crazy number of athletes that came out of, like the high schools there. And Bill Russell was sort of the start of that.
Yeah. Was that the first? I did talk about it in the first hour, like, the sight of Bill Russell pushing Larry's wheelchair. Not just standing next to Larry, pushing Larry's wheelchair out to center court was one of the great emotional moments. Was that the first?
I think that was the first MLK Day.
Was it? Because they did the Earl.
No, whether that was the first season or not, I don't
know. No, it wasn't the first season. The first season was not the first MLK. Yeah,
but it wasn't the Pyramid.
It was the first MLK, and it wasn't the Pyramid.
Yeah.
They played two seasons at the Pyramid? They played two, or did they play three?
No, they played at least three.
Three.
Because the first playoff season was in the Pyramid.
That's right. Anyway, truly one of the all-time greats. And as you point out, he got the – he got the Medal of Freedom, and then after Kaepernick, after Donald Trump is saying that anyone who kneels for the national anthem should be fired, he immediately puts up a picture. He's kneeling with the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Bill Russell was not someone to be trifled with, on or off the basketball court.
Yeah, he just was not someone to be trifled with. Okay. I'm not going to get to all of your mailbag, which is probably just as well. We will go through some of
there are
it
other days in the week.
There are other days in the week. The first question is, and people can read it, the Daily Memphian, I have tweeted it out, is what you will miss most about Kyle and D'Anthony Melton being gone. What will the team, not you personally, but what will the team miss most about their departure? And then
if I'd answered it the other way, that would have been interesting.
Yeah. What will you miss most personally?
Well, I just love the quirk of Kyle Anderson's game. I just enjoy the subtleties and the quirk and the long arms and he's just sort of such a unique basketball player. So I'm Kafka for life as far as that goes.
Right, exactly. So, but in terms of what you're going to miss, what the team is going to miss, what is the team going to miss?
Well, I think, you know, I was looking for sort of a commonality between the two in answering the question, and there's to be a very strong commonality, even though D'Anthony Melton was one of the quickest, most athletic players and Kyle Anderson slow-mo. They had a lot of similarities in that they were two of the team's best defensive rebounders, and they were two of the team's best like defensive playmakers in terms of steals and blocks and that kind of stuff. And you put those two things together, that was the engine for the Grizzlies' transition game.
Right.
The Grizzlies were a top five offense, even though they were a bottom 10 half court offense because they were so good at getting in transition, and even though Anderson and Melton both came off the bench, Anderson was second only to Steven Adams in defensive rebounding among the front court players. Melton was first. I'm talking about the rotation guys now. Melton was first among perimeter players in defensive rebounding, even though he's 6'2", and Zaire Williams is like 6'9".
Right.
They were the top two players on the team in steal rate. D'Anthony Melton blocked shots at double the rate of any other backcourt perimeter player, including 6'9", Zaire Williams, like double the block rate. And so much of what they did in terms of getting defensive rebounds, pushing the ball, creating turnovers, pushing the ball. Kyle Anderson's outlet passes to me were super underrated on this team. He and Steven Adams both would like get long, quick, strong outlet passes as soon as the ball touched their hands. That style of play got them going in transition, and they're not going to replicate that with the guys that are replacing them. Conchar will as a rebounder, but the totality of that style of play is not going to get replicated, which doesn't mean that like the Grizzlies can't make up for it in other areas. And in fact, that is their bet. That, okay, like, we will be better. We don't want to be the number 22 half-court offense next season.
Right.
Like, so you better shooting and whatever. And so we'll see. But I think that style of play that was both effective and, to me, fun, it's going to be lessened
by
those guys.
Why will they be a better half-court offense next year?
Well, I don't know that they will be. But the bet is that you're becoming better shooting. Like, Kyle Anderson's shooting is easy to replace because he wasn't very good at
it. Right.
And so if Jake LaRavia is standing in the corner and in summer league the ball wasn't getting to him, but playing with John Morant and Desmond Bane it is, and suddenly that spacing is creating better lanes for other players, and then when the ball finds it out to him, he's knocking down corner shots instead of hesitating and, like, missing the way Kyle Anderson would. That's your hope, that you're a better shooting team with better spacing in your half-court sets.
I find it difficult to think in year one of Jake LaRavia that there's going to be much payoff in that regard.
Well, I agree, but maybe it's Santi Aldama.
Right.
Maybe, I mean, you know, Kyle Anderson was part of your four-man front court rotation, and he was a non-shooter.
Right.
And so whether it's LaRavia, maybe it's Santi Aldama, maybe it's David Roddy, whoever it is, if they find
but
real
not
shooting.
Adding Bogdan Bogdanovich here or something.
Oh,
you know?
No. I'm not arguing
in favor of it. Right.
I think Kyle Anderson is a better basketball player than any of these people. And I think the net, it will be a net loss in terms of total basketball impact. But the bet is we're trying to become a better shooting team.
Did related question then was, knowing what we know about the injury to Jaren Jackson Jr., would they have been better off with keeping Kyle and letting Tyus walk?
You know, this is in the mailbag, but it's sort of a difficult thing. I think setting the Tyus part of that and just like, you know, having Kyle or not having Kyle with Jaren out, I do think Kyle would be your best option to start in that
still
spot.
Still not perfect.
But I don't think it's going to work as well as it did 2 years ago when Jaren was out, because Kyle's shoulder was not bothering him as much.
Right.
He shot much better, and it was a better fit with Jonas than with Steven Adams. And so, would Kyle be helpful to you, particularly with Jaren out? Yes, but I don't think it would be it would be as much of a positive impact as 2 years ago.
It would have been a whole different offseason, too. Like, they basically spent their draft replacing him.
Right.
Who would you have gotten if it wasn't Tyus? I don't know who they would have had as a backup point guard. They would have needed a backup point guard. It's not going to be, you know, Kennedy Chandler isn't it. So
right.
The whole offseason would have had to look so different that it's...
You know, maybe you draft... I explored these scenarios. Maybe you draft a Blake Wesley instead of one of these forwards. Maybe you sign a DeLon Wright, and you just have a different looking kind of team, right? It is what it is. I do think from a strictly value standpoint, I think Kyle Anderson for the next 2 years at $18 million is a good deal for Minnesota. Yeah.
And it's Kyle for two as opposed to?
Two for 18 and Jones is two for 29.
Two for 29. You can read the mailbag. It is up at the Daily Memphian, and there's more delights in it that we'll talk about tomorrow. Thank you, Chris.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.